server infrastructure. So this is all we talked about so far was network, the network, several technologies, topologies, OSI layer, and so on and so forth. Let's switch our gears and move on to the server infrastructure. Because as I said, server infrastructure is also a very critical element in the entire lifecycle of IT infrastructure, right? Server. What could be a definition of server? Can my laptop considered as a server? I would say no. Server is something which has a very, very high compute. When I say high compute, high CPU power, okay? High memory, high storage, okay? The server should be capable enough to work for hours, years, you know, months without need of shutting it down. You know, the server should be robust enough to cater my several requests at the same point in time. My server should be in a position to handle thousands of requests coming from the clients, right? My laptop, even if it has the i7, i8 CPU, it cannot be considered as a server, right? Servers, where it could be used for running any application, like maybe the Active Directory, maybe my ERP, maybe my email exchange server, and so on and so forth, right? So server generally needs the high capacity which caters my request from the multiple users. Now servers can be of two types. One is the physical server and one is virtual server. Physical server is nothing but, you know, having the physical box with a limited hardware, limited compute, limited, you know, RAM. And if I want to upgrade, I can upgrade up to a limit, but beyond which I have to procure a new one. Virtual server is something wherein, you know, I have the very large compute, very large memory, very large storage, where, you know, I can start with small, gradually I can increase, and I can, you know, keep on building my servers, keep on allocating my computing power or a memory, right? Today, when we speak about cloud, it is everything virtual, okay? People generally don't buy physical servers these days, unless there is a cost limitation or unless there is a very limited use, some restrictions on spend. People generally go for a virtualized mode. Why? Because it's very, very easy to upgrade the virtual environment. Okay, so even if today you have purchased a box of virtual a server, and if you want to upgrade it, you can easily connect the new one, move the resources from one to another seamlessly, and, you know, get the things done without any outage. Okay, that's a beauty of virtualized server. We'll of course talk more when we reach there. Physical server, as I mentioned, but would like to repeat only few key points here, that the physical server needs to be retired beyond a point, right? It is a costly state of affairs because I cannot keep on occupying my rack space. Okay, I need to virtualize. So earlier, the server used to be available of 1U, the smaller one. Now it's of 6U, 8U, and so forth. So the more physical server I have, the more, you know, rack space it consumes. So it is obviously an, you know, kind of expensive state of affairs. However, if there is a smaller business, if there's a limitation of spend, as I said, people can still opt for the physical servers. Virtualized server, all on cloud is on virtual. In fact, the concept of cloud is virtualized, right? Virtualized, why it's holding so much of importance? Because today I may be running out with 1,000 users, okay? Tomorrow I acquire a new business altogether and I end up adding more 5,000 people, right? Where do I increase my capacity, okay? So to increase my capacity, I need to have a virtualized scalable environment which can, you know, seamlessly help me to satisfy the requirement of all the newly onboarded people, right? So that's a beauty of virtualized server. I'm sure most of you must be aware about it, but we'll learn more, okay? Web server, okay? Why it is called as a web server? So the simplest way to understand is any server which is accessible from the internet, okay, from outside, can be referred as a web server, okay? The placement of web server is very, very important if you are having one on your infrastructure, okay? The placement is generally in the demilitarized zone, So when you say the DMZ, it's a demilitarized zone wherein I have an additional layer of protection. Why? Because these servers are directly exposed on the internet. I don't know whether the requester is genuine or not genuine. Okay, I may have some users who are genuinely accessing the application, but I have whole bunch of, you know, hackers or the attackers who are just waiting for, you know, vulnerability to exploit, right? So this needs to have an additional layer of protection. The DMZ is a segment wherein it is, you know, isolating my trusted zone, which is my militarized zone, which has my most of the critical users or the servers, you know, from this a little bit of vulnerable zone, right? This DMZ or this web server also needs to be hardened. Okay, when I say hardened, there are some brilliant basics which needs to be followed. Okay, like you know, maybe your Windows security patches has to be updated. If it is a Linux machine, your, you know, kernel must be updated, and so on and so forth. Okay, now one more thing which we'll talk about it in future is this server, if it is exposed on the internet, is assigned an IP address. Now this IP address, what we discussed some time back, needs to be a public IP address. Okay, so this public IP address, you know, is generally aware to the people who are accessing from outside. However, this server also has a private IP address, which is internal, which need not to be aware to the public people, right? Because it's that's something internal. So whenever I'm say hitting www.cisco.com, it will resolve the cisco.com to the public IP address, which will in turn hit the firewall of the organization, maybe Cisco or maybe on the cloud, and it will convert that IP address from public to private, which is called as a NAT, network address translation, and satisfy your need. Okay, we'll talk about it in some time. Domain name. Connecting back to the example which I just quoted of www.cisco.com, okay, it is easy to remember, it is easy to use, right? But if somebody says or somebody requests you to access 203.156.100.2 IP address to access any website, is it convenient to use? No, right? Because it is not convenient to use, we generally need to use the domain name. Domain name is something which can easily remember, which can, you know, easily can understandable. We know that, you know, this domain name can be of this, right? So domain name is generally mapped with a public IP address, and there are several domain names. I'm sure most of you are aware that you know there are domain name pretty common are .com. For the government sites, they are .gov. For the you know, specifics to country, you have .in, you know, .au, .us, and so on and so forth, right? So there are several domain names. I'm not sure, many of you might have your own domain also. Okay, so if you are you know, accessing any website or any company website, like say for example tatamotors.com or tcs.com, you have the domain name TCS, obviously, which will be converted into some public IP address, right? To touch base more on the virtualization, a little bit more on that, because we have already discussed virtualized environment is similar to SD-WAN, wherein, you know, I decouple my data plane and my network plane or a control plane, right? Similar to this, in the virtualized environment, what I will do is I will separate my operating system and my hardware, okay, application and a hardware, right? The beauty of this is on the one hardware I can have a several, you know, operating systems run. So the example which I quoted, right, that I have a large capacity virtualized environment and I want say 5 servers today, and maybe I'll add 10 more servers after a month, I can do that. Okay, the all the servers can have a various operating system, need not to have only one. Okay, so you know, that is something which we need to understand on the virtualized environment. There are a couple of components which supports the VM environment or a virtualized environment called as a host. Okay, what is host? So host is again a virtualized layer, you know, which manages the resource. Okay, so so suppose if you have some resources of the CPU, so say for example your HR folks have come to you and they've requested it, hey, I want you know, a server with 5 cores and you know, having 128 GB of memory. Okay, go ahead and you can provision that, right? You have another gentleman coming from the admin department saying, hey, I want a server for a biometric authentication, please give me another server with so many specifics, right? Again, you can go ahead and allocate it, but what manages that? It's a host, right? Hypervisor is something which is again a software layer, nothing but which enables you to you know, communicate between the host, right? So you know, if you want a specific communication to be done between the host, like say from database server to application server and so on and so forth, maybe the hypervisor is something which you can use. Having said this, hypervisor can also be acting or also has a specific you know, operating system. Now this operating system from the security point of view also needs to be upgraded, needs to be patched on a regular basis. Okay, if you are done with upgrading your operating system or operating system which are based out at server, the job is not done yet. Okay, you also must protect your hypervisor, because imagine if your hypervisor is compromised, maybe you have a larger damage, right? Okay, so moving on to the other more components of the virtualized environment is something called the virtual machine, which is actually the machine, you know, which will have its own operating system, basically the server infrastructure which you have allocated to one specific set of users, right? User interface, we know, you know, how to manage the virtualized environment, wherein from the single pane of glass you can see that what is the current utilization of server or your resources, or you know, if there is some server which is causing a lesser utilization, maybe you can allocate those resources to the server which is wanting or needing more, you know, the resources, right? So that's about the virtualized environment. Talking about something on the storage, right? So storage is also you know, ever needing or ever requiring field. Why? Because we keep on needing more space. Take your own example, okay? You have captured photographs of your memories on your phone, right? Beyond a point, you will run out of the memory, and you'll probably have to delete some photos or, you know, move from one place to another place, right? Because you have a storage limitation. So in a simple word to say that, you know, storage is something which is keep on you know, adding requirement. The businesses wants to store the data for a longer period of time. There are compliance requirements, there are government mandates which, you know, enforces you to keep or retain the data for a specific amount of years, right? So storage is something very important element in this infrastructural you know, gambit. So you have a basically the several type of storage. Okay, one thing is called as a network attached storage. So what is generally done here is you have you know, the hard drive connected elsewhere, and through you know, the fiber optic or through the network cables, you store the data on the network. Okay, the another piece is of the SAN, which is called as a storage area network. Again, pretty much similar to the network storage. The only difference is you know, it will have the data storing on a block level. Okay, you know, the SANs are also you know, predominantly used for you know, for your high speed requirement. Like, to give you an example, okay, if you are into a trading industry, okay, like say for example Bombay Stock Exchange, right? Now this needs a data to be fed to their users on a very, very high speed, right? So this high speed you know, access to the data can be achieved via SAN. So after learning or after understanding the SAN and, you know, the NAS, let us, you know, quickly talk about the differences, okay? Because the difference is something, you know, if you remember, you'll understand the concept. Okay, so let us see quickly, you know, that what is the difference between the NAS and SAN. So NAS fabric is which is being used is on Ethernet. However, in case of SAN, it is on a high-speed fiber, right? So as I mentioned, that if you are into a requirement or if you're in a business of providing the data at a very, very fast speed, you know, SAN is something which is being used. Okay, maybe the financial institutions, bank, stock market, and so on and so forth. Protocol, the NAS uses generally the SMB or a network file sharing system and the HTTP, whereas in case of the SAN, it is iSCSI or the SCSI is being used. Again, high speed. Performance, no need to mention again, the network access is little slow. In the event of SAN, it is very high speed. It is difficult to scale up the network access storage because you have dependency on your underlying infrastructure, like maybe your switch which is not supporting the high speed, maybe that port is not supporting the high speed, or maybe the switch CPU is, you know, kind of overshot, and so on and so forth. But in case of SAN, since it's a dedicated device specially designed for such requirement, it's easy to scale up, right? Network, now this is a little bit different, you know, between these two. Is network access storage is fairly easy to manage. However, for managing this SAN, you need a specialized skill. Okay, the data processing at file level, this is also a very important thing for you to understand and remember. Always remember that in a network access storage, the data processing happens on the file level, whereas in case of SAN, it is happening on the block level. Okay, now before we end this session, let us, you know, quickly touch base on what we discussed in this chapter. A very, very important chapter which is holding many information. So let's, if I call out few. So what we understood, the basic understanding of IT infrastructure, right? We understood what is the thick net and thin net, what are the difference between them. We also understood the various kind of topologies. We also understood the OSI layer, TCP/IP layer, what are the difference between them, what each layer is responsible for, what are the devices which work on all these layers. Okay, that's also something important which we discussed. What is the IP addressing? Okay, what are the private addressing, what is the public addressing, why are we giving on why are we going on IPv6, what is the difference between IPv4, IPv6, what are the QoS, what is the quality of service, everything which we learned here in this chapter. All topics are very, very important. We also understood something on a transmission media, which is responsible for carrying out your packet from one source to another destination. We learned about the shielded twisted pair, we learned about Cat6, we learned about fiber optic. We also learned about something more on the storage, because as I mentioned, the storage is, you know, something is a requirement and which is ever increasing, I would say. And is also one of the reason people are going on a cloud, because you potentially have almost virtually unlimited storage, right? We also learned about what is a storage area network, what is a network access storage, what are the differences between them, what is a good thing in one which could be a problematic in another, and so on and so forth. Thank you so much for watching me. Appreciate your time. Take care.